You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 37 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
I feel a freedom right now unlike anything any listener can ever feel. Like I just robbed a bank that doesn't exist, but the money is real. Don't remember writing that last night.
The money is real. Checks are getting cleared because Anthony just wrapped up his 6-episode run Tuesday night. We're taping this late night for the podcast. Mm-hmm. And you're coming straight from the stage, right?
Straight from the stage. I did the last episode. I had my last guest. It was honestly the best show we've done of the bunch. They've all been great. But this was really fun, and then had the took a picture with the crew, had champagne, had a little vodka, brought a bottle of champagne to the podcast. I was walking up the stairs, texting.
Oh yeah, we actually have some breaking news here. Anthony Jeselnik, world famous comedian, seen tripping and falling while holding a bottle of champagne while entering Comedy Central Viacom building on Tuesday night.
Yes. I was walking up the stairs. I was texting, like, is someone down there to meet me? There were 2 stairs left. I'd missed them. And I was texting and ate it. Went right to the knees, saved the bottle of champagne miraculously.
In the
and
air.
And didn't break anything. And I'm here now. I could have, people were like on my TV show were like, don't go. Like, just let them do it. Who cares? You just finished a TV show. You wrapped it. Why would you?
The timing is a little strange, yeah, that this is on the same night. But, you know, this is a job, too.
I had a show last night. I couldn't do it last night, so I had to do this. And I'm excited to be here. I'm in a great mood. I mean, there is
How are your knees, though? You had your legs up on the table for a while because you seem like you're a little injured.
My knees are okay. I mean, I scraped some shit. Yeah,
you
for sure.
You fell hard.
I fell hard, yeah.
It's but funny because Erica didn't want to go downstairs to meet him. We sort of, you know, someone had to go downstairs and meet him because his pass doesn't work. And you lucked out. I would pay money to have seen that.
Well,
image.
I saw him walking and texting, and I was like, okay, he's going to look up. And then I saw the 2 concrete steps, and I was behind the glass door, and I was like, okay, he's about to look up. And then literally he goes to look up to be like, oh, hey, Erica. But as he looks up, he's falling over, keeps the hand in the air with the bottle, the champagne bottle. Glasses fly off, and then he gets up, and he yells through the glass, I saved the bottle.
Yeah, no shame.
So amazing.
No shame. If I broke the bottle, I would have left. I would have been like, no more seasons of the podcast. No more episodes. Live episode canceled at Clusterfest. We're done. But I am in a great mood. And this is the great mood that starts off and then will eventually go to despair. When you finish a TV show, you finish a big project, you start to feel kind of hollow because you put so much work into it and now it's done. That I'm in a great mood right now, and it will. We have a wrap party tomorrow, and then the show will air in September.
Did you get invited, Greg?
The wrap party? I could have. If you would like to come to the wrap party, you can. I would assume that you would not want to drive all the way out here.
You mentioned last week of maybe going out tonight after the show that you thought the wrap party would be tonight.
I thought people would want to have drinks afterwards, and everyone was like, no, we'll see you at the wrap party. Mm. So I'll have some drinks when I get home, but I got to get up early and run some errands, look at some edits.
Yikes.
The show is still going on. I'm just done with interviewing people. We've taken 6. We can go and get drinks for sure. We've done 6 episodes. 4 were amazing. 2 were difficult. And I think that when we edit them together, you will not know which were which I think is a testament to the show. It's funny that every single guest bitched about Comedy Central's lack of a online presence. Mm. Of like, I hate digital. I hate that I can't find my special. They only aired it this many times. And at the end, Kent Alterman, the head of Comedy Central, came to me and said, please edit all of those together. Edit every guest losing their mind. Like Nick Kroll tonight, I don't want to give away too many guest names, but Nick Kroll tonight went off on Comedy Central Digital in such a hardcore way that it was amazing. And Kent was like, please edit it together so we can show the president of Viacom and be like, this is what comedians think of you. Like, you, we keep saying we need to get on digital, we need to be better with this, and no one cares. But when they see these people, these stars, and I got great guests, when they have people, these people being like, this is reprehensible, and why I'm not on the network, why I'm only coming on Comedy Central, because Anthony asked me to be a guest, they will see that and be like, okay, we got to get it together. Hmm. So it was...
Well, a lot of the people that work in the digital department are, you know, will be listening to this rant that you just said. Because we're, you know, we're kind of knee deep in that too. We're at the forefront of the podcast department, which is, you know, part of the digital team, right?
We're the Marines. We're leading the charge on the beach of their digital department. And, you know what? It's not good. And it's going to get good. I told Kent, I was like, you guys are like almost like you're ready for free agency. Like, you've cleared the cap space. Mm. Once you get into digital, you will be okay. But you need to get there. And they're not there. They know Netflix is eating their lunch every day. So they are very aware. But it's been a good week. I'm done with my show. I finished my last episode tonight. I've got to do a little bit of editing. I've got some press left. I got 3 more weeks of that. We're doing Clusterfest, live podcast.
June 22nd, come on out.
June 22nd, come to see the show. And then I got to go to New York and finish things out. I'm doing Jimmy Kimmel on Monday.
Ooh.
I'm doing Seth Meyers Wednesday of the week after. The next day, I have a 92Y. In live conversation with Colin Quinn, which will be very fun. Colin Quinn's an idol of mine, and he has to research me and then ask me questions for an hour in front of an audience, which I cannot wait for. Like, I'm just so excited.
You don't
think
he knows enough about you? This is the 92nd Street Y, to be clear, in New York City.
He knows enough about me, but he's got to research the special and ask, like, interesting questions. But to have someone that you love and admire and think of as a hero... talk to you as if you're amazing is great. I highly recommend it.
It's like Erica goes through that every week coming here. Mm-hmm. Just being around her heroes.
You exactly. do. Erica in the glasses. Librarian Erica.
Yeah.
As I like to call her. It's been a good week for me. Very busy.
I'm a little bummed out, though, that you are... It's almost haunting that you're saying that this high of... ending the show is you already are preparing for it turning into a hollow, empty feelings. Like, that's already in your brain. Like,
it's always that way. I mean, it's because you work so hard and then it's over and you're just like, oh, that's done now. I got to find something else. We do a special, you do whatever. If the podcast ended today, tomorrow, I would be like, oh, I love the podcast. Like, you remember the best times of it. And then you have to realize that things move on. So there is a downward swing, I would say. But you pick back up. I've got other things to do. But I loved the show so much. I really loved doing the show. I loved everything about it. I hope we get a second season. I assume that we will. And I can't wait for that, because on this season, no one knew what the show was going to be. So every guest attacked it differently, and I was able to hang with them and give them what they needed. Every show is going to look great. But next season, people will know what they're in for. Hmm. They will know they're going to be weird stuff and real stuff. And I just think it's going to be fantastic. But I love what I do. I love my life. I ate my face walking in here, tripping on steps, and I'm still in a great mood.
I mean, what other job can you have that you walk in with a bottle of champagne, pass the paper cups around? You know, video guy Stu's got a cup. Erica's got a cup. There's a cork now in the ceiling of this studio that may never come down, that thankfully, you know, didn't take any of us out. What other job can you do that? Famously, though, you kind of regretted That we broke out a bottle of champagne for the final episode mm-hmm. of the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
RJVP.
But now you're going back to the well.
Yeah. Before I was like, this is embarrassing. They were a little bit drunk. Now I'm like, oh, let me turn it on so I can come here and do this. It's been a great week. And it got even better today. I got great news. My dad is turning 70 on August 31st. And I was like, what's a good birthday present? So I looked at the Pirates schedule, Pittsburgh Pirates, and my dad's a big baseball fan, always loved baseball, loved baseball. And I said, there's no game on the 31st. A week before, there is a game. Can I get my dad to throw out the first pitch?
No way.
Stop.
And talked to my publicist, talked to my manager, and they were like, yep, August 24th. If you're in Pittsburgh, you want to go to a game, August 24th, Pirates versus the Reds, I believe. My dad will be throwing out the first pitch to celebrate his 70th birthday, and I will be catching.
What?
That's I get,
they
so
want,
cool.
They want me to catch, and I couldn't be more excited.
Well, yeah, it would be... It's a good thing you're catching, because otherwise it would just be like, here's Anthony Jeselnik's dad. And everyone would be like, what? What's happening right now?
I think it'll be funny.
I mean, it still will be funny, and there'll be a little bit of that, but it'll be make more sense that here's Pittsburgh resident and... you know, world famous comedian Anthony Jeselnik and his dad on
well,
his dad's birthday.
It's funny that we have the same name. They might cheer when
Tony.
They hear his name and be like, they might.
Does he go by Anthony though? Ever
occasionally, I guess because it is Anthony, but he goes by Tony.
Right.
They might say Tony Jeselnik. With catching is his son, Pittsburgh's own comedy star Anthony Jeselnik.
Hmm.
And I told him today, and he was so thrilled. He was so happy.
That's
unbelievable. And the weekend before his birth, like his birthday is the 31st. All their kids are coming in for the 31st. His friends from college and like his friends from life are coming the weekend before. So they're going to stay, watch the game, come to the game, see that. It's a day game. I couldn't
That's
be
so
happier.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's dang. Cool. I mean, I made a surprise appearance at my mom's 70th birthday party. She didn't know I was coming in. It was right around New Year's, which is during the football season. And, you know, she lives on an island in Massachusetts, so tough to get. So that was like a big surprise. But, you know, I can't compete with throwing the first pitch out at a game. People say, like, money doesn't buy happiness or whatever, but, like, it can get you moments like this.
Yeah. I was thrilled to tell my dad to be like,
I'm just
warm
saying.
Up, get it together. I don't want to surprise you with this. I want you to know you got to throw a strike. You wouldn't be George Bush after 9/11. Throwing that strike. And I honestly do not believe I will catch it, because I've never held a catcher's mitt. I've never played catcher.
Well, just bring your own
regular, use a regular mitt. I mean, I know you're not like a natural baseball player, but catching a baseball, please, if you can't do that, then don't worry about your dad throwing a strike.
I'm one of
it's
the
easy.
Worst baseball players of all time. I haven't caught a baseball in years. It'll be a disaster. But I'm very happy my dad will get to walk out in the middle of the field and throw a pitch. That's a great 70th birthday present. My siblings are all furious. They're all like, hey,
yeah,
we wanted to get him a watch, and now you're doing this. We're screwed.
That's amazing. I want to see that.
That's so cool.
It'll be cool.
Tony.
It'll be great. Yeah, Tony's very excited. My mom is excited. I cannot wait for that.
Mm.
So that's a few months from now. But if you're in Pittsburgh listening to this, you want to see something cool, go to the August 24th. Day game on Sunday against the Reds and watch history.
I want to get there somehow. I want to work out some sort of like, can I go cover the Steelers preseason game that weekend or something like
you
that?
You can get there. I'd fly out. I'd fly out for my dad's birthday. It's that big a deal. It's 70. It's 70. My dad is healthy, mentally there, and still doing it. My mom, mentally gone. But physically, still doing very well.
I mean, you can start practicing now. It's not that hard to catch a baseball. Let's put some work into this. If you can keep that champagne bottle above ground while you trip and fall,
I mean,
that shows
graceful.
A level of athleticism.
I just want to stay in front of it. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about catching it. More as like I don't want it to get by me. I want to be able to kind of get the ball, run up, give him a hug. I'm wondering, you know, should I give him some signs? And then do like a pitcher's mound meeting where I'm like, hey, we're doing this, and then come back. But
or just like have him like step off a lot and get the crowd to boo, like it's like the Toronto crowd after Kevin Durant's injury, and they just like get really sick of you.
To defend Toronto, they turned it around pretty quickly once they realized how serious it was. I do not blame Toronto for that.
Wow, but, hey, getting serious.
We're getting into sports. Erica, how was your week?
It was good. It was good. Really good week. LA Pride was this past weekend. A bunch of friends were out. There were a bunch of parties.
You texted me Saturday.
Yeah.
We didn't hang out, but you texted me. Mm-hmm. I was. I appreciated that. I like that you don't feel like you need to invite me to things that a 40-year-old man would not be invited to.
Right.
You're just like, hey, I know you said this to be nice, but I'm doing my own thing.
Right.
I like that.
But yeah, just
pretty much anything she does would be something that a 40-year-old man wouldn't be at, which makes sense.
Of course. And I don't want to be at a thing with a bunch of kids. I don't want that. I wasn't like, oh, Erica doesn't include me. I'm like, yeah, Erica, enjoy yourself. I'm good.
These glasses make you look even more like a kid. It's
a
cute.
Kid?
That's cute, yeah.
Really? You kinda, I was kind of going for like edgy sort of, you know.
I feel like it's either more, you know, I think it's more like, you're bounding down the stairs on Christmas morning. Like,
it just
really
goes to show my not sex appeal that I put on like glasses. Now you look like a kid bounding down the stairs for Christmas morning.
I don't think so. I think it makes you look like more serious, like almost too serious.
Okay.
It's like, oh, fuck, do I have cancer? You know what I mean? Erica's talking to me. How was your week, Greg?
It's good. You know.
What did you do? Did you tape 6 episodes of a TV show?
No. I mean, I was on a TV show though. Shout out to Up to the Minute, you know, on NFL Network. I'm on that every week. We have that's wrapping up actually. Takes about 2 months off before training camp. This is kind of like the end. It's already been quiet in my work life, but it gets real quiet for about 6 weeks. So I've been in this NFL game now for like more than 15 years, and I try to realize that the times of the year that are slow and stay in the moment, actually like enjoy those times, but I don't really end up enjoying them that much.
No.
You know what I mean? Like when it gets slow and you're like, okay, this is what I've been waiting for all year. Is that really that satisfying in the end? No, you get like a little itchy. You don't want to get too complacent, even though I have a little more, you know, flexibility than
I
used to.
You like the adrenaline.
A little bit.
That comes
with
it. Yeah, I get that. I get that totally.
Shout out to the FedEx guy in my neighborhood, by the way, who just yelled out his door this week, though, saying, good luck at the ringer.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, that was like a deep cut of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project. JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
For close listeners of the show, you know, you would know that we've had the contract negotiations going on with Comedy Central. And
we'll get to that.
They're struggling digital department.
Yeah.
And the ringer is another possible option. And so this guy, who I have met before, one time he came up and he was a listener a couple weeks ago and came up to me. But this time he just like yelled it out the window. And that's the kind of reach we have right now.
That's pretty cool.
We reach all the drivers. So everyone had a good week. That sounds fantastic. Let's get into, did we get any notes?
I think my favorite part of this episode is going to be the transitions, you know, or unless we cut them out or whatever, just like all of a sudden, like a 3-second pause and then Anthony being like, so I would guess everyone had a good week. let's go to the next part.
We're leaving transitions. Listen, I just came from a TV show, like something for real. This is a podcast. This is like, this would be like I won a gold medal in the Olympics and then I fell asleep and had a dream where I won a silver. And this is that dream.
But silver is solid.
I mean, we got
lights.
No, silver's bad.
We're getting
silver's
paychecks.
Bad.
We're getting negotiations. We're getting thing, you know, Stu's here. You're keeping him away from his his family late into the night just because you come late.
Stu's enjoying the champagne. Stu's enjoying my accolades. Do we get any notes? It's funny. I'm gonna go two part on this. The TV show. All right. First episode, we shoot the TV show. Mild disaster. All right. Almost made the guest cry. At one point, because the questions, and they're like, "Uh oh, is it?" And it's like, "No, it's the guest. We're going to be cool. And then every other episode afterwards has been amazing. That no notes. The only note I got at the end, Kent Alterman, the head of Comedy Central, came to me tonight and said, every guest has complained about Comedy Central Digital, about how you see a special, you can't find it on the network, whatever. And the head of Viacom doesn't care. It's like, yeah, we're figuring it out. And he was like, please cut together every guest talking about this and talking about how mad they are. I mean, Nick Kroll tonight went off forever about how bad it is. And he was like, cut it together so I can show Viacom how bad it is. Like, it's bad.
Wait a second. Erica, we got a little more breaking news. Hit it. Yep, we've got some information coming into the Comedy Central studios. Anthony's so drunk that he just retold the exact same story that he told 15 minutes ago on the podcast.
Listen, people want to hear it twice. You know what I mean? If there's a hurricane, you don't just want one update. You want several updates on the hurricane. I bet Kent's
That's a pretty good save. That was
Kent's
a good save.
Kent's listening right now, being like nodding his head, being like, yeah. This is why we're giving them more seasons.
And what about everyone else that's been working in the digital department for the last
few It's like
years?
Three guys who got hired yesterday who have no idea what they're talking about. They don't know anything. I'm saving this network on multiple fronts. I am.
You are the network.
I'm D-Day. All right? I'm storming the beaches.
Mm.
And I'm living. I'm not getting killed. I'm living.
A lot of D-Day memories this week, you know, the anniversary and all that. It feels fitting.
I did not know at all. There was a point tonight where I told did not feel bad for where they were like, we're cutting that. And I was like, why? Why would you do that? I don't feel bad. Bad things happen to people all the time. It's okay.
Well, it's okay. You can now have it on your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
On our podcast, the one that could
it's my podcast
potentially get me fired from my actual job.
But did we get notes? We're negotiating. Things with Comedy Central are going well. I liked the first pass. We still got to get there.
Negotiations going back and forth, but I gotta say, I think it's looking pretty promising for season two. And it would be perfect because season two in theory would be going on when Good Talk, your show, you've announced the name of
Good
that show, right?
Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik.
With Anthony Jeselnik, when it's on the air, so it'd be perfect.
It was a bummer tonight with Nick Kroll. Nick Kroll is amazing. Nick Kroll's a great guy, a friend of mine, and prepares but doesn't always like know exactly what's going on in a way that's like I think is charming. Where at one point we asked
like
Nick Kroll, you've been on the show for half an hour, what is the name of the show? And he got it right, and I was so bummed. I thought he would be like, but he nailed it. That was tough. It was tough. But that was the week. Did we get any notes? I think we're gonna end up back at Comedy Central and not somewhere else. But they have some work to do to get down to what I want. Are we gonna lose Stu? Looks like. But everything else, Stu's not taking a pay cut. He just doesn't have to do this anymore. But I enjoy the podcast. I enjoy the show. I'm enjoying myself at Comedy Central now more than I ever have before, which is a low bar. But I think that I think it's
you're enjoying and you're doing torturing a lot of the people at Comedy Central. If the 2019 or if you could talk to the 2013 or 14 Anthony Jeselnik and say this is what's going to happen, you're going to come back in 5 or 6 years, and then you're going to end up almost having to like regularly apologize to members of the organization for making them feel bad. You would be delighted, I feel like.
Delighted. I mean, I had to write an email this week to Comedy Central executives being like, hey, I love the show. Thank you guys for coming and all your help. And it was a strategic email. Like, it was like a, they think you hate them, email them.
Yeah.
And I was not pleased to have to do it. Executives are there to make me feel good, not the other way around, but I was willing to do it and did it, and everyone's happy. We're definitely getting a season two of this TV show. I'm bringing in names that would never be on the network normally, and the show itself is fantastic. I know it's going to be a different side of me. You're going to see a goofier side of Anthony than you see in my stand-up, but I think they are fantastic, and I love it. Like, I truly do love doing the show. And the Jeselnik Offensive, while I was proud of it, was difficult and was stressful, whereas this is not at all. And the crew, the staff, everyone is just on fire, loves doing it. Season two is going to be even better. Different guests. But the guests we have this year are amazing. 11:30 Friday nights, starting in September. You're going to want to watch. Natasha Leggero was a guest. And she said that...
I thought you didn't want to give away your guests.
I didn't, but I'm giving a couple away. Natasha Leggero was a guest and said, this is like what comedians talk about backstage before they go on. When you're in the green room, you're about to go on. You're not like a podcast. You know it's a podcast, but you don't think like the cameras are on you. So you don't really care. But on this show, it's like talking on a podcast, but it's a TV show that makes a certain amount of pressure put on you. And I think that people have risen to the occasion. For the most part, I'm not going to name names of people who shit the bed that I carried them through it.
I mean, this isn't great for, you know, I guess no one there. Your prospective guests are probably not listening
to our podcast.
But executives, I just hope there is a second season of this podcast. I feel like the longer this particular episode of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
Jerry B.
Junior Vice President,
continues, like the less of a chance there is for a season two of this podcast.
They love me. They know they need me. They know without me, they would be nothing. And that was, did we get any notes? That was chill. I like it. I like it. I took a sip of champagne during that that break. My mom's listening to this being like, is he drunk on the show? Yes, Mom. I had some drinks with my crew. We took a crew picture, had some drinks, and then came over here and did this. Even though I didn't have to. I could have taken the week off and been like, hey, I'm doing the show. But I wanted to do both because I want my mom to know what's up. Talk about my dad throwing out the first pitch. I want to give these things to the people. Now it's time for a little something I like to call Erica's Corner. Erica,
another seamless transition, playing the music twice within like 30 seconds.
Erica Tamposi wearing glasses into fat asses. Erica is large and in charge.
What?
I mean, large like as like a person, not like
that.
You're
got
like,
the biggest. That got the biggest laugh from Stu the whole season.
Why are you laughing?
Erica is one of her favorite people. She's a producer. She gets things done here. Let me into the building. Didn't laugh too hard when I fell onto my knees, carrying a bottle of champagne to you guys to celebrate our victory. Of my comeback to Comedy Central. We'd like to cut out some time for her to ask us a question. Maybe it's a viewer email. Maybe it's some bullshit quiz that no one gives a fuck about. But Erica, what do you got for us today?
I got another email. We're going to go from Dylan J.
Where do they send these emails? We need some better ones.
Yeah, we're getting a lot, definitely. They're not good. JRVP, Junior Vice President at gmail.com. And this one's from Dylan. Hey guys, love the show. Looking forward to the move over to the Ringer. I'm moving in with my girlfriend soon, and I'm looking for any advice from you guys. Any suggestions for taking this next step?
It's funny. My brother recently emailed me or texted me and told me he was moving with his girlfriend this summer. And I said, here's my advice. Have a room in the apartment that you can go to get away from her. because if you're living in a tiny place, I lived with one girl my entire life. And it was in a small New York place where we wanted to kill each other. I'd move out every couple of months and then move back in. That if you have a place to go, separate bedrooms, I think is great. One of you guys to stay up later than the other one, you go to bed, the other person goes to bed, you're good. But you got to have a place to get away. It's great to live together, but you need space. Mm. You need somewhere to go, whether it's a library down the street, an office, whatever it is, be able to get there. So if you're moving in with someone, find a place that has two bedrooms. You know, find a place that has three bedrooms. You have an office and an extra bed.
How? Who's supposed to be able to afford that?
People as rich as me.
I mean, you were the one living the rest, the at least one of the apartments that you're talking about in New York was one of the worst places I've ever seen anyone live. And that's,
that was different. I don't. I'm not counting that.
Why doesn't that count?
Because I was just thinking about someone else.
It was the only block in New York that you couldn't get to directly. You had to walk around because the block closed off.
But
you had to go a whole circle around just to go, which is an insane thing in Manhattan, and it was a 6th floor walk up.
In my defense, though, it was right next door to an elementary school where the kids were screaming all morning long. That if you didn't have to get up and go to work at 6 a.m. like I did, you would hear them wake
basically
you up.
At no point have you really ever been able to take care of yourself on any meaningful level. But to your credit, you found a career that you would be able to hire people to do that for you eventually. You never actually did have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lesson for kids out there. If you can do something, if you're talented enough, you can just pay. You don't have to learn how to take care of yourself. It can all be taken care of for you.
If I were not talented, I would have no teeth. Guaranteed. No teeth and probably missing a limb.
I think your advice for moving in was good. I would say, like, don't get too comfortable. Like, don't just because suddenly you live together, you like become like a different person around your significant other in the way that's just like, hey, I'm just gonna start like ripping farts and like, dude, that's a bad example, but just like, just letting it all go. Like, getting too comfortable in a relationship in general is a risky proposition.
Of course. I think the important thing to know,
and that doesn't mean
that,
like, not being yourself. I'm just saying, like, you still want to be as considerate of the other person and not like take things for granted. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, listen, both Greg and Emeka rip massive farts all the time around each other trying to compete, and it's gotten in the kids' way. Like, they love it. They laugh every time they fart, but the kids are like, hey, mom and dad, why don't you just get divorced so we can have a real life? But I think that the important thing to think about is that if you're going to move in with someone, get your own TV show and then have a podcast you got to go to afterwards. That seems like it's like building a castle and then going and building a sandcastle. It's like, who gives a fuck about the sandcastle? You built a castle that the royalty will live in for years to come, and now you're on a beach, just moving around mounds.
Well, who knows? I mean, unlike the TV show, this will be easy to find, you know, in perpetuity. Hundreds of thousands of people might be listening to this for the rest of your life. Who knows if they're going to be able to find Great Talk with Anthony Jeselnik.
It's called Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik. And I think that you're partially right. I think that this podcast will outlive things. It's funny how, like, listen, iTunes has said that they're getting rid of iTunes. Like, we're done with it.
Yeah.
But I went to war with Netflix to get my album on iTunes and won. And then they were like, oh, iTunes is gone.
Well, it's still there. It's still there. Like, the app is gone, but iTunes ultimately is the same. You can still buy your music through
Apple.
Yes,
but things are changing so much that it doesn't matter anymore. That it's like,
although people have been listening, I encouraged our listeners to leave as many comments as possible on iTunes, and they listened. It had a big uptick, so rate us, review us. We've had a lot of new listeners lately. I think Fire in the Maternity Ward, you're special. The Rock, maybe. I don't know what the reason is, but it's all climbing and just at the right time for our negotiations for season two.
Things have helped. Greg got in touch with my manager to give her the numbers of what has changed since Fire in the Maternity Ward, and it's gone up. That I think we have the leverage, and I'm going to get what I want, and then we'll be here for quite some time, I think. I think you guys, if you guys like this podcast, you're going to get more of it. And tell your friends. I mean, people who love this podcast love it.
A lot of people go back to the beginning. That's like the most surprising thing is we hear from a lot of people and then the numbers reflect it. That a lot of people go listen to all 37. Seems kind of crazy to me, but it's nice.
It doesn't seem crazy to me. I listen to all 37 of them at the same time. I've got 37 computers and I put them all on. And I put on each episode at the same time. I listened to it once. And the cacophony just feels good to me. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy glasses diamond. Greg, let's get to headlines.
All right. Good job. Good job, buddy.
He rolled his eyes under the glasses that he's wearing.
Yeah, you put on the glasses right before the show started. I don't know what the decision was there, but I liked it.
I had them on me. It was either put in my pocket or drink. Is my knee bleeding? Possibly. Do I need stitches? Almost for sure. But I'm a pro.
Get it?
I'm the opposite of...
We're gonna have to beep that or something. I'm gonna write that down. Let's start in the NFL.
It was great. I'm joking, of course.
Glasses someone are I fogging up. Stop talking.
Listen, a lot of times women around me, glasses fog up. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
That happens, I think, around Le'Veon Bell, who does not have a problem with the ladies, or at least not until...
Oh, he's got a problem with the ladies.
Recently, the former Steelers star, now currently with the New York Jets, is part of an investigation where the police told the Associated Press, this is all official, it's part of a police report, that Le'Veon Bell's two girlfriends stole $520,000 worth of jewelry. Two girlfriends with whom apparently Le'Veon Bell lived in Miami were no longer there when he returned home one day and all of his jewelry was gone.
Here's my thing on this. Le'Veon Bell, listen, I wish you the best. I hope you do well for the Jets. I loved you as a Steeler. You did great things for us. If you have two girlfriends,
yeah,
you can't leave them both home alone at the same time. You can take one with you and trust that everything's going to be okay. The other one's going to watch TV or make something or clean something. But if you if you leave both of them at home, they're going to steal everything you have.
Mm. I feel
for sure.
Like, what is this world coming to, though? That you're in a committed, like, long-term polyamorous relationship and you can't trust these two women? Like, if you can't trust them, who can you trust?
I don't think it's about being in a relationship. I would say, Greg, if you took your son, if you took Walker out and you left Emeka and Ellis alone, they would steal everything you have. Two women sitting around are like, what are we gonna do? Let's watch Ocean's 8. Let's steal everything he's got.
The missing items were two gold Cuban link chains with diamonds, a gold chain with a Black Panther pendant with black and white diamonds, a rose gold Rolex presidential watch, two-tone rose gold and white gold Cuban link bracelet. He lives in Hollywood, Florida. I'm just more amazed that he had, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but that he has two girlfriends and that it wasn't like a short-term thing. There was an Instagram post from, I think, a year ago where he has the two of them. You know, this is like a public relationship.
They're babes.
He has the picture of the two of them and with the caption, mine, in a lock and a key next to them, which is, you know, ironic considering what eventually happened.
I think if you put a picture of your girlfriend or two girlfriends up with a lock and a key, they're going to steal from you. They don't like that. All right.
Was this the plan all along, though? Like, did they fall in love at some point after 3 months? Did they say, hey, we could do this? Like, why? How can one of them trust the other one that much? Because that's not really a strong basis of trust to start their relationship together in terms of like stealing all this jewelry together. How can they like not be so sure that one of them is not going to just run off with the rest of it?
They were like, he's great. We love him. We will support him equally. And we can't get married because polyamory whatever they call it. No, polyamory is a word.
Yeah, polyamorous. Yeah.
You sleep with other people. But what do you call it when it's bigamy?
Yeah.
Bigamy is illegal.
No longer legal.
But once he went to the Jets, they were like, let's just get out. Let's just take what we can and leave. This is a wild one. I think if someone started with this episode, they'd be like, oh my God, why does anyone have a job? If you knew the money we made for this podcast without advertisement, you would be shocked.
Hit us up, advertisers. Santa Anita Racetrack, maybe they could be an advertiser for season 2. They've been in a lot of hot water all year. Horses keep dying there. It's in California, as you know, Anthony. The 29th horse of the year died at Santa Anita Racetrack. This was last week. A 3-year-old filly named Truffolino, which happened only a day after officials told the track management to stop racing before more horses died. There was another horse that died last week there. There was had a hurt shoulder. There was one with a hurt pelvis. It's a little mysterious why so many horses keep dying there, but it keeps happening.
Here's my take on this. Who cares about horses? They're animals. It's like, oh, my cat passed away. Oh, it did? Oh, I'm sorry. You gonna be all right? You gonna be at work tomorrow? Because you better be. You can take an evening to drink some like extra chamomile, or you can have a glass of wine. But if your horse dies, if it's a racing horse and it dies, it died doing its civic duty. All right? Every time a soldier dies, we don't just stop what we're doing and sing the Pledge of Allegiance. Horses are the soldiers. Horses are the soldiers of pets. They're there for our amusement. They're there to race until they die. And if you're walking around, chilling out, eating oats, and you pass out, it's their worst deaths. Horses are treated pretty well. That I feel like Santa Anita needs to open it up. You know what I mean? Make
how
it
so?
Bigger. Let people come in and kill the horses. Let people come in and ride the horses till they die. Get obese people to ride the horses and break their backs.
What the fuck?
If you don't like this, you're not going to like Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik, because Good Talk asks the hard questions like, should horses be allowed to live? I would say kill them all at birth. They're too big. Horses are too big. If you can fit a saddle on you, you shouldn't be alive. You should be dead. I think Santa Anita, I want to go there right now. I want to go there right now with a pellet gun.
What would that
and
do?
I mean, I had like a take of like, well, it is kind of a confusing moral thing that we just eat animals all day. So, you know, these are dying for the riding. Like, where is the line here? But I think you've really put it in starker terms.
Eat the horse
terms.
Raw. Eat it where it is. When it hits the ground, start eating it. Put the tent up over it so no one can see you eating the horse. That's my take. And I'm a TV star. I've never taken anything more seriously in my life than I am this podcast. If you're listening right now, no, that I'm taking time out of my life to entertain you. Let's take it down to
choo-choo
recommendation station. Greg, you want to start us out?
Sure. I'm going to go start with a podcast, and this one might annoy Anthony, but I'm keeping it real. I'm keeping it with what I enjoy, and I'm going to recommend the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend
okay.
podcast.
Okay, I'm with this. I thought you were going to recommend some NFL bullshit.
I love podcasts. You know, I love listening to podcasts. I love interview podcasts in general, and Conan O'Brien, who obviously is hilarious, is clearly enjoying the shit out of having a podcast and how it's a different form. And it's fun to hear him having so much fun and definitely get a better feel of who he is as a person. And all the people that are on his show have been great. But like the ones that he's friend or has like a relationship with outside the show, it's particularly great. Like Timothy Oliphant was on. You would enjoy that. And that dude was fucking bonkers,
amazing.
But there are other Bill Hader, like a ton. He has great guests and he's great on it. He's so smart and quick and is clearly having fun. And it's become one of, if not my favorite podcasts.
I believe it. And I would say that, like, I bet Conan feels relaxed doing the podcast versus the TV show where he's got to be on camera and worry about what he looks like. Whereas my TV show, I feel like I'm doing the podcast thing without worrying about what I look like, because I look like, Erica, how would you describe me, what I look like? A Greek god. Exactly. And I think that I believe Conan's podcast is great. His show is doing fine. But the podcast, I assume, would be great. I will not listen to it. I don't listen to podcasts, except for this one, every other week. But that's great. Greg, I'm going to say this right now, and I've been thinking about this a lot. Greg has been killing me in terms of book recommendations. Greg sounds like he's a Nobel Prize awarder. Like, he's not the guy who writes the book.
I could
he's
be a
like
book critic.
The guy who you could. You could easily be a book critic and nail it. Because every book you recommend, I'm like, oh, that sounds great. And I started reading Conversations Between Friends.
Conversations with Friends.
Conversations
by Sally
with Friends by last week. Started reading. I finished my book that I'll recommend in a second. Started reading that and loved it so much. I'm just like, God damn, like, why am I so superior to Greg in every way except for this what he finds is books?
I feel like this one would be, as I said last week, popular with the masses. I didn't really give a good description of it, but I did want to like show to Comedy Central that people will listen to us if we tell them things. Mm-hmm. They'll buy shit if we try to sell them. So what I want people to do is go buy Conversations with Friends and then send a tweet to us and Comedy Central at StandUp, which is their Twitter account. I don't know they're not going to pay attention. I don't give a shit.
22-year-old dork.
Doesn't matter.
He's like, oh, great.
Just send it to me. Don't send it to Anthony. Sure. He's going to be annoyed.
No, I
and
love
we'll
it.
We'll show them the hundreds of thousands of people that buy Sally Rooney's book, and then we'll be like, figure out how to make some money off this.
Here's what angers me is that I'm a book guy. Like, I'm a reader. I'm a literate guy. And every time I try to recommend a book, Greg has just outdone me. He reads books that I've never heard of before. And when I read them, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I wish I could have recommended it, but I can't because Greg beat me to it. Greg is killing me book recommendation-wise. But this week, I'm recommending a book. The show Chernobyl came out on HBO. People seem to love it. I did not watch it because I bought a book about Chernobyl. And I read it.
What was that called? The book called?
The book is called Midnight in Chernobyl by Adam Higginbotham. It is a great book. It's a book about like how things went wrong, how Chernobyl almost ruined communism, ruined the USSR, and changed it into what it is today because they were so secretive. And it is thrilling front to back. I really enjoyed it. I don't read a lot of nonfiction, but I love this book. And now I'm on to
wow.
conversations with friends and really enjoying it. So hopefully by next week I have another book that's good. But Greg is listen, I'm the funnier one. I'm the more handsome one. If Emma could choose again, she would choose me.
That's not true.
But if her children, if Ellis and Walker could pick who could be their dad, they would choose me. If Erica could be like, I wish I could pick my own father, she would choose me over her own dad. I truly believe that. If cameraman Stu could be like, if instead of working with cameras, I just worked with you, Anthony, he would do that. Okay? That's the level I'm working at now. I am at the top of my game. I'm 40. I'm 40 years old. I'm in my prime. I'm in my prime. And I think that this book, Midnight in Chernobyl, is great. If you watch the series, you might not be into the book.
Didn't you recommend this book last week?
No.
No.
I was talking about I was reading it. I was halfway through.
But you didn't finish.
I recommended Wu-Tang last week, which was great. But this book was fantastic. I have to watch the series. Erica, do you have anything to recommend that's not something that's going to send me over the edge?
I mean, that's tough. But season 2 of Big Little Lies is out. If you haven't seen season 1, it's 7 episodes. It's quick. It's on HBO Go. It is incredible. It is a masterpiece. And I've watched season 1 twice now, even before season 2. Season 2 is amazing as well. And you're only one episode behind. It's a quick catch up. Go.
I'm with you on that. Season 1 was great. I love limited series. I was skeptical when they made a season 2 because it's like there was a book and now you're just going off. I watched the end of episode 1 of season 2 and I missed like 10 minutes and I think I missed a lot.
Yeah.
But I got to go back and watch it. But I would recommend that. That's okay. It's better than whatever app you recommended last week about walking fast.
Yeah.
But that
not
was
not gonna let you live that down.
That was
choo choo
recommendation station. And now Erica, take us out of here.
I feel like today we should, you know, you should be part of this. Yours is the voice. Maybe all three of us together, I feel like in terms of unity, your show just ended should send us out.
Let's do it.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.